Philippians, book of Philippians, chapter 4. A number of things I could bring to your attention here. New nursery schedule will be out soon. If you would like to help out occasionally, please see Sue LaFlemme. If you're a member of this church, want to serve the Lord in that, we certainly do appreciate those that labor in the nursery. Teens, volleyball game and cookout this Saturday. Tilton Teens will be meeting here at the church at 1:45, and we'll be traveling to Plymouth Church to meet there. Make sure you sign up on a bulletin board in the back if you are coming. Another reminder of a Senior Saints trip. Okay, remember that? Sturbridge. I'm sure they will have a good time. And I have a note here. It says, Pastor, remember the garbage. Now, who do you think would leave a note like that? SPS. Who's SPS? Okay, right. That's right. I just wanted to see who it was that knew those initials. Okay. Yeah, he said, remember the garbage. No, actually, we talked it over, so I knew it was Sam, and he said that whoever takes out the garbage tonight, see, he would have taken it out this morning, but I didn't think it was a good idea. Now I may be wrong. I don't know. I just didn't think it would be a good idea. I thought it would give too much time for creatures of the wild to make a mess out of it. So I said, no, let our people take it out. And he says, we've got lots of it. Wrapped up all real nice. So whoever takes out the garbage tonight, there's lots of it to do. And it's all Slobodians. Okay. And he left a key behind. Is that your key? That's your key. Okay. It's up here. Let's pray. Father, we come before Thee. We pray, Lord, that You might speak to our heart. We pray that we might learn of Thee tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder if you remember what Sam preached on a Sunday night, because I think it's a perfect lead into what I have to preach on tonight. Remember what it was? He preached on the Bible, didn't he? And then he challenged us to, if we wouldn't read the Bible a whole lot more than we are doing. And from what I would determine, maybe perhaps many of you did respond to that challenge to start reading the Bible. One of the important things that we get when we read the Bible is we are reminded of truths that we already know, but forget to practice. Now, that's what preaching is for, too. And tonight's preaching is for that. It is to remind us of things that are in the Word of God, that God has told us to do, that we ought to do. And we are reminded when we read the Bible, as we keep reading it, we see the things that the Lord would have us to do that are for our benefit. And also, preaching accomplishes the same thing. And I would draw your attention tonight to Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's two tremendous verses. We ought to know those verses. We ought to have at least part of it memorized, these verses. They ought to be in our mind, in our heart, in our life. But what I would bring before you tonight is not that they're just memorized, but this thought. If you could learn this, you would live in victory in your Christian life. If you would learn it, you could live in victory. Now let's look at some of the meanings here. The first phrase says, be careful for nothing. Be careful, in the original language, is in the present imperative. It means this. It means that be careful is a command to do something in the future which involves continuous and repeated action. So God has given us a command, be careful. This means be careful for nothing means, you know, don't be anxious for things. Don't be so crazy caring about everything. Worried is another word. Don't be frantically worried. God is actually commanding that we are not to be frantically worried or anxious. And the next word is nothing. That's easy to understand, isn't it? Nothing. Not one thing at all. Nothing. God commands us that we are to be anxious, we are to be worried about not one thing. Now, today, tomorrow, or in the future, repeatedly, we are not ever to be worried, anxious about one thing. It says, everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication is a long word that we see used a number of times, and many times we see other words like prayer used with it, and because we see other words with it, we wonder what it means, supplication. But it means it's simply a prayer for particular benefits. That's what we're doing most of the time when we pray, isn't it? We're praying that God might bestow particular benefits on us. Now, the meaning of the verse is simple. Be careful or be anxious for not one thing, not one single thing, but everything by prayer. If you could learn this, you would live in victory. It's hard to learn. It is really, truly hard to learn. Now, it's not hard to memorize. It's not hard to do it lip service, but it's hard to learn. There's probably not 2% of us doing it. Probably not. But it is a command, isn't it? Be careful for nothing. That is a command. Don't be anxious about one single little thing, but everything by prayer. Notice those two words that he uses. He uses nothing and he uses everything. They are completely opposite, aren't they? In the matter of worry, in the matter of anxious, in the matter of being in a dither, we're not to be in a dither about one single thing. But when it comes to prayer, we are to pray about every single thing. Now, we believe that. You see, I don't have to stand up here tonight and do something to convince you that we believe. We believe that. We believe this verse. It's in the Bible. But we hardly practice it. We hardly practice it. But if you did, you would live in victory. You know, when the Lord put me in the hospital with great pain, you know one of the things you learn from that? You learn that He is in complete control. There's nothing in the world like laying on a bed stiff as a board because you can hardly move. It hurts so much. Can't move. And so long they come and they get out their old needle, you know, and they got a super duper modern medicine painkiller, you know what I mean? And they get you right in the rear end. And you like it. You say, give it to me. That's all you can say. And you're hoping that it will give you just a little bit of... You know, if you had just a tiny bit less pain, you'd feel better. And nothing happens. Absolutely nothing happens. It hurt just as bad as it hurt before. And you know what it teaches you? It teaches you God is in complete control. You see, if I could say, well, you know, I could have one of those attacks and I could be in the worst possible pain, but if I got myself down at a hospital, they give me a shot of that stuff and give me a little bit of relief, and I could live with that. But doesn't. What's it teach me? Almighty God is in complete control. So what can I do? I can't call on the doctor to do anymore. He can't do anymore. The nurse can't do anymore. No one can do anything for me. Laying there. What's left? I can only cry out to my Lord, right? And say, Lord, have mercy on me. That's all I can do. I know He's in control. Nobody else can do a thing. You know, every once in a while we need that. Every once in a while we need that. And we say, oh yes, I know it. I know it's true. But now I really know it's true. He's the only one in control. When you're totally helpless, all you can do is pray and leave it to the Lord. And you know, that's what He told us to do in verse 6. That's what He told us to do. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, every single thing, by prayer. You know, both times that I was in the hospital and came home and I was recovering, I was informed that some folks were saying things about me, building a case against me. You know, it hurts to hear that when you're down. And it hurts more because the people are probably people that I trust and value. But what can I do while I'm in pain? Not one thing. God says, be careful for nothing. Not one thing. He says, don't worry about one thing. Pray and leave it in my hands. So, what can I do? I can only do one thing. I pray they get victory in their life. That's what I pray for. That's the only thing I can pray for. I pray they get victory in their life because I know they don't have victory. I know they don't have victory in a Christian life. Because, you see, whatever is irritating them about me would be of absolutely no consequence to them if they were living in victory. Isn't that right? That's what it says here. Verse 7, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts. You know, when you got the peace of God in your heart, you're not motoring off in the mouth to everybody else. Isn't that right? Get the peace of God. You know, peace of God says, God's got everything under control. You know, I don't have to go to friends and rally somebody on my side against Him. Right? It's that simple. They're not living in victory. If you're living in victory, you can't be irritated by anyone. Isn't that right? You can't. You just absolutely can't. Why? Because you committed it to God and you know that He's got it under control. Do you realize that? Do you realize that? That no one can upset you when you are practicing these verses. They can't. That's why I keep saying practicing. Not just saying I believe them, but practicing them. God has said everything by prayer. Make your request to God, and what happens? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, is yours. Nobody can understand it. Nobody can understand how you can be calm. But God says, you will have the peace if you're not anxious about one thing, but you give everything to Him in prayer. You see, if you could learn that, you really would live a victorious Christian life. this wouldn't even be a gossip anymore. You'd live a victorious Christian life. You would have a peace that is the most valuable possession that anyone in life can have. The saved don't have it. I mean, the lost don't have it, and the saved, most of the saved don't have it. And the reason is, they get in a dither about someone, and instead of taking it to God, they take it to their friends. And they stay in a dither, because their friends can't give them the peace, only God can. If you can learn this, you will live in victory. Number one, no one would bother you. Number two, no thing could bother you. No thing. No one is number one. No thing is number two. How many people? Now I'm going to ask them for a raised hand. Please don't raise your hand. This is not confession night down here. We have that Thursday night, 12:01 a.m. I'm here to take your confession, whip you if you did badly, okay? All right. You don't believe any of that. And we don't have confession. I hear your confession is to God. All right. So don't raise your hand. But how many people, I just knocked the key over. How many people in some measure are upset about our Christian school? Something, some aspect of the Christian school has you upset. Now think about that. Answer that in your own heart. If you could learn this, verse 6, be careful for nothing. That includes the Christian school. That includes your life. That includes your money. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. If you could learn that. You see, we really tend to think that God is not so much in control. We really don't believe that, or we'd be at peace. We wouldn't be the least bit upset about any aspect of a Christian school. But we're not so sure that God is in control. So we get all dithery about it. And we don't experience that peace. You know, you wouldn't be the least bit upset if you did verse 6. Because God promises verse 7, isn't that right? And the peace of God that passes understanding. Nobody can understand it. Somebody should be able to say to you, how could everything go wrong in your life? And you're calm. So people ought to be saying about us. You know, people get upset a lot of times about stuff they think is happening. You hear that? Stuff they think is happening. Not even knowing for sure whether it's even happening, they get upset about what they think it is. Do you know that so many times we're upset about something that's in our imagination that may not even be a reality? Do you know that? In fact, Sam touched on that at the adult retreat, didn't he? Remember that? He had some kind of figure. He said 80% of the things that people worry about never even come to pass anyway, but they spent time worrying about them. How we are. Word of God tells us to be different. I mean, we get upset about what we imagine might happen. Hasn't even happened. Or may not even be a reality. And we get upset. And how about finances? Now that'll get people upset, won't it? Finances. school deficit, raise in rates. That can get you upset about that and everything else. Isn't that right? It can. Do you know something? You might want to mark this in your book. Making a prediction now. Hey, for a moment, I'm going to be prophet. Easy prediction, no. You know, we'll have financial problems in our church till the end. You know that? We will. We'll have financial problems in our church till the end. And I'll tell you something. I'm not going to manipulate things and I'm not going to manufacture things so that they come about. I guarantee you I won't. You know, that's what's done by a lot of TV preachers and things like that. They manufacture crisis or they manipulate a situation or they go out and order a whole batch of stuff that they shouldn't do, or they inflate their budget 10 times what it should be, and then pray that everybody will send in money, or ask everybody to send in money to take care of it. I'm not going to do things like that. But without doing things like that, just trying to operate a church by faith, we will have financial problems till the end. And I'll tell you why. It's one of the very few ways that God's people in the U.S. of A. in the 1980s can have a test of faith. Soul winning is kind of a test of faith. And there are a couple other things that can test your faith. But it's one of the few ways that you can really, truly be tested in your faith so that you could say, I don't know how this can be done. But I will trust God that it will get done. I don't like that. Now here's what I want to know. Again, no hands, please. How many of you, just answer this in your own heart. Since I announced the deficit and the rate increase, how many of you heard it? And since the day you heard it, you went home and you put Philippians 4, 6, and 7 into practice in your life. And you've been at peace about it since the day you heard about it, maybe, 2 months ago? Answer that in your own heart. So, I wasn't reading in Philippians. You know, I'll tell you something. You just, any place you're reading in the New Testament, you'd come across that concept, wouldn't you? Right? When the Lord was talking, he says, don't be so concerned, He sees a sparrow fall, he takes care of it, makes the lilies take care, Don't worry about all those things. Right? Now, you answer the question. In your own heart, right now, before God, since you heard of the deficit, since you heard that maybe your rate was going to go up $80 or at the minimum $40 if you had somebody in the school, that you went home and you said, I'm going to do what God said. I don't know how I'm going to make that. I don't foresee I'm going to get a raise that's going to cover that. I don't know how it's going to work out. But I'm just going to give this thing over to God. I'm going to do my part, and I'm going to trust Him, and I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to dither about it. I'm not going to complain to others about it. I'm just going to have victory about it. How about it? Well, the truth is, most of us probably forgot all about this, right? Probably forgot all about the verse. Spent more time worrying. Even though I preached on a similar subject even to introduce it. Probably forgot what I preached. You might have walked out the door forgetting what I preached about faith that morning with only a dollar sign in your mind. You forgot about what God said and all the promises God made to you. and you didn't put these verses into practice. Isn't that right? It's probably true of many. Haven't I preached? There's no trust if there is no test. How do you prove God faithful if there isn't any test? The kind of test in which you realize that you don't have any control over the situation and He's got all the control. When I'm lying on the slab, I realize I don't have any control. He's got all the control. Yeah, that's what He wants from you. If there's a test, a real lack of funds, can God handle it? Can He handle it? And the question is this verse true and does it really work? Now let me tell you something. If this verse doesn't work, be careful for nothing, everything by prayer and a peace of God. If this verse doesn't work, neither does your salvation. Isn't that right? It's the same God wrote them both, didn't He? The same God that promised if you believe you'd be saved, said, if you trust Him in these things, He'll give you peace. Verse 7 is really something. And the peace of God, which passes understanding. No one can understand how you cannot be bothered by anyone or anything. Now, my friend, that's living in victory. That is living in victory. Peace. Peace. That's the greatest thing we can have in our life. You go to prayer every evening, maybe, or every morning. Maybe morning, noon, and night like Daniel. Doesn't particularly matter when. You know, maybe you're the kind of person, you get up in the morning, it's hard to get the second eye open until you get some coffee in you and you're halfway to work already. And you say, you know, I got to do my reading and praying at night before I go to bed. Because I just can't do it in the morning. Somebody else maybe gets up early, kind of naturally, and they can do it in the morning. It doesn't really matter when you do it, but if you do it before you go to sleep and you wake up in the morning, or you do it first thing after you wake up in the morning, and you pray to God about everything. Everything you could think of. Say when you have time. You say, Lord, here are all the things I don't have any control over. I'm totally dependent on You to take care of. Here's some things I got to do. I'm going to try to do them right. But ultimately, You have all control over those. I'm going to do those too. Hey. Now, never misuse Scripture and act like, you know, you're out of a job and you say, well, Lord, you know, take care of me. Send me manna from heaven. Send me a good job, the kind I like. Well, you got to go out and look and say, Lord, you know, please supply while I'm looking. But you pray about everything before you start your day, whether it's in the evening or whether it's in the morning. You say, Lord, I committed everything to You to this day. Lord, I might be having trouble with my boss. I might be having trouble with somebody who's irritating me. Or somebody I haven't had that good a testimony. I'd like to change that around. Or I've got this problem, that problem. And I'm certainly going to need more money. And Lord, I'm just asking You, as I go out and do my best, Lord, You just take it all from there. And I'm dependent on You, Lord, that Your promises in Scripture are good. And then you walk through that day in peace, don't you? He said, I've given it over to the Lord. All I can do is do my best. I gave the rest to Him. Whatever happens, I gave it all to Him. And if a problem doesn't get solved today, it gets worse today, it will get solved somewhere along the line. Because I gave it all to Him. That's peace. That's peace. You never in a dither. You never have to motor with the mouth. You don't have to gossip to your friends to get a little solace. There is nothing better than that. Total confidence as you walk through your life that God is in complete control. Peace replaces worry. If you could learn to practice these verses, you would live in victory. No one or no thing would bother you. How about it right now before God? Right now before God, in your heart, why don't we bow for prayer?